141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers beat Ross County, lose Jermaine Defoe to injury and close in on the signing of Yanis Hadji. Celtic blow St Johnstone away inside half an hour but could be without Mikey Johnston long term. And Brian Rice has given an immediate 5-game ban for breaching betting rules. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, Gordon, Rangers and Celtic took care of business last night pretty easily. Celtic were sensational in a first half that swept St Johnstone away with a few changes. Rangers slightly stuffier evening, but got the job done nonetheless. But at what cost? You know, Jermaine Defoe's injury may cause problems, but the return of Alfredo Morelos is a welcome one, I'm sure, for Rangers fans. And potentially a new signing on the way could excite Rangers fans. So that's one to look forward to. And I wonder if the deal will be over the line by the weekend when they face Aberdeen.
It is all happening, Gordon Dale. Two big games last night, big games on Saturday, and the transfer window closes tomorrow. So you're squeezing in all sorts of drama and speculation and stories on and off the field.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Rangers are looking to do a bit of late business, Gordon. I've said it from day one. I thought that you've got to cover every base, especially this season, especially in the fact of where they were in the league after the you know, December the 29th, sitting pretty with 2 points behind game in hand. And I think you've just got to make sure that you can cover everything. I know it's very difficult in January to go and get a striker and say, look, we've got Morelos here, we've got Defoe there, you'll need to fight for your place, come and but I'm sure Rangers could have managed that. They've now put themselves in a little bit of position. Okay, Morelos is back, great news for Rangers fans. Good result last night. Defoe, obviously injured. They're looking maybe to just cover again. So they've left it till last minute. Celtic, whether they do more business or not, don't really know. Neil Lennon's come out and says, if I don't, I'm quite happy. But I've got to say, from both sides, the quality of some of the goals last night was absolutely superb.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So Celtic fans, what did you make of the game last night? How impressed were you with the opening 25 minutes? What about the injury to Mikey Johnston? Is that one that concerns you? What about the way that situation was handled on the night? We'll get to that one.
I've had a few of them.
Rangers fans, similar question. How impressive was the victory? Was it just about getting the 3 points in the bag? And what about that injury to Jermaine Defoe? How concerning is it? How does that leave you up front? And of course, Yanis Hadji, he's in Glasgow, looks like he will complete his move to Ibrox on loan. How happy or otherwise are you with that? 0141 951 1025, on Twitter at ClydeSSB. We could start anywhere, really. We'll open the phone lines, we'll see which order things come in. But it makes sense, Gordon, to look back first of all on last night's performances, and really a 2-0 win, a 3-0 win. Of course there was other factors in the midst, but job done comfortably by both.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And if you can put on a little bit of a performance, Gordon, then it's a little bit of icing on the cake. I happened to watch the Celtic game, and I looked at Celtic in the first 10 minutes and thinking, this is going to be whatever they want. They absolutely tore St Johnstone apart. I like the formation Celtic play when they play with two up top. I think these two guys are starting to have a good partnership. Some of their movement touches last night were brilliant play. Some of the goals were terrific. And Cham's goal, Griffiths' finish, even Forrest, who comes in for a bit of criticism, which I just don't understand from some Celtic supporters. But they were in cruise control. Then you go over to Rangers playing Ross County, and I watched Ross County at Celtic Park at the weekend, created a few chances, a bit dangerous, but Rangers got that job done comfortably. And I've got to say, bit of class from Defoe last night, putting Arfield in. Fantastic touch, great link-up play, and Arfield puts it into the back of net, kills the game. But the most important thing for both clubs is both won, clean sheets, 3 points, they move on to the weekend.
Yeah, let's hear from both managers then. It really is over to you. Don't hang about. 0141 951 1025. Neil Lennon says they were outstanding in the first half. He says they were forced into a change of shape and it disrupted their flow.
I was a happy man overall, but the first half was outstanding. You know, just the fluidity of the team and the chances were created, and the attitude of the players and the overall quality of football and the pace that they played at was just breathtaking at times. So I'm a very happy man tonight. We had to change the shape because of Jozo with the knee problem. He has been above and beyond the call of duty really since he come back, you know, with the lack of centre halves that we've had, and he's played through a pain barrier for a couple of games and he couldn't carry on, so we had to change the shape, which probably stopped, you know, the natural flow that we had in the first half. But I'm so happy with Jozo and what he's brought since he's come back. Just there were some outstanding individual performances, but the team as a whole, I, you know, couldn't speak highly enough about tonight.
And as for Steven Gerrard, he saw a positive reaction from his players. Despite that, he says they'll still need to get better in coming games.
I think it was a lot better than the weekend, so I'm very pleased with the performance. I think we can still go through the gears and perform better. I think there's still areas of the game, individually and collectively, that we can get better at. But it's a positive performance, good result for us, and as I say, a lot better than the weekend. In terms of the shape, out of possession and our hunger and everyone competing and everyone trying to do the right things, I think I did get a positive reaction. I think the games coming up will have to be better, so we'll have to try and raise the level again from tonight. But it's been a flat couple of days after the performance, so to get back on the horse and back to winning ways with a clean sheet and a positive win is what we needed.
01419511025 is the number. John is on, he's in Parkhead and he's a Rangers fan. What did you make of last night, John?
Hi Gordon, how you doing?
Not too
Gordon.
Bad, John.
Two Gordons and Mark, how you doing, alright?
Yeah, good, John.
I'm on hands free, so I mean, I don't know maybe if I'm breaking up or not, but hopefully you can hear me okay.
So far, so good, on you go.
Right, what I want to talk about, I want to talk about the game last night, but first of all, I want to talk about, for me today, the scenario at Hampden Park. I sympathise with Brian Rice 100%, I love what he says, but to walk up to Hampden today, and you walk into the main stand with William Howe above it, what an absolute joke. A joke, by the way. A joke. That could have been, in my opinion, that could have been done somewhere else today. There's not an office in Glasgow City Centre. That guy's got a gambling problem, and walks up these stairs, and all you see is sponsored by William Howe.
Well, funnily enough, that you mentioned it, John, and on the sympathy point, I know the guys will agree with you. In fact, pretty much all corners of Scottish football have come out with a great deal of support and sympathy for Brian Rice. We're going to hear from him a bit later on in the show, and he even explores that side of things about the exposure to betting firms surrounding the game and all that sort of stuff. So we will do it, I promise. It's an important issue. If you listened to the show a couple of weeks ago, we felt quite passionately about it. We got some really incredible stuff from callers sharing their own stories. So we will do it a bit later on in the show, John, if you don't mind. Just give us your thoughts on the game last night as well.
Okay. Hi, also my thoughts on the game last night. It was, and I liked what Gordon Dale said. We're coming to the point of the season. I think Gordon said it last week. All in my opinion is all that matters. Last night, wasn't it? It was a wee bit better on Sunday. The improvement was slightly better, but there's still something lacking. I don't know what it is. There's just something missing. I mean, we go back to 7-8 weeks ago. Rangers were playing. The football they were playing was unbelievable. We were blowing teams away. I know that. I know they're footballers and they're human beings, and footballers can take a dip too. But last night was, I mean, two great goals. The second goal was a brilliant goal. I mean, the ball for Ojo and the wee touch for Jermaine Defoe, and then obviously Arfield puts it away, puts it in the poke. And I mean, it was good. But there's something missing. So we go over the line last night, and I've argued with a few pals of mine. Guys were on argument about the St Mirren game a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't great stuff. And I said to them on Sunday night, I wish we would have took the same performance against St Mirren and beat Hearts 1-0 on Sunday. Because I agree with Gordon, and I think maybe Mark said it, Hugh Keevan said it, we're getting to the business end of the season now. And if you can get performances, brilliant. But if you don't, if you can get the 3 points, is all that matters. And just to finish off, in the scenario with Alfredo Morelos, if that's what's happening in Glasgow now with footballers, allegedly, that somebody was trying to put something under his car, that's a joke. He's guys, his girlfriend's expecting a shell to him. There's people allegedly.
John, I'm starting to wonder if John has sneaked into the office and looked at the order in which we were going to do things tonight. Because John, you're ahead of us. Don't you worry. We'll hear from Stephen Gerrard on that a bit later on as well. John's any chance of the lottery numbers tonight?
John's on the ball. He's not on hands free. He's in there somewhere. He's roaming about.
He's right though. In terms of what he's saying about the business end of the season, you know, it's last week we stood here and there was a couple of Rangers fans phoned up and, you know, vented their frustration at how it was a bit, you know, lackluster last week, and, you know, argued the point that they still got the job done and got 3 points. However, there was a wee bit of a hangover going to Tynecastle, and they were punished for that. You know, if you can get 3 points by any means at this time of the season, it's a bonus. If you can do it, you know, match with a performance, then great, everybody goes home happy. But it just goes to show you that you can play terribly, you know, and have an off day, but as long as you take your chances and defend right, that's the important thing at this stage of the season, because there's going to be slips, I think, from both teams from now till May. It's just who does it the least is going to be the big one.
It's all about winning. It's as simple as that. You go to May.
Yeah, but then at the same time, you watched Celtic win 3-0 on Saturday and still were quite critical of certain elements of the performance. Uh-huh. So you can understand why fans like John or fans on any side would go along and still see things that they weren't happy with.
I totally agree. Gordon, this is a different season. And you can't say, nobody will tell me any different, because Celtic now have got a challenge. And Rangers, people question, have they got it to go over a line? Stephen Gerrard even questioned it about, have we got the bottle to get there? So just now, I totally understand supporters go along and they pay good, hard-earned cash to watch their team. But if they get to May and they win that title, whether it's Celtic or Rangers, they will not give a jot about their performances against St Mirren or Ross County or Celtic against Ross County at home, and still the one is Rangers won the other night. They won't care. It's from now to the end of the season, it's about winning. And if you can get a performance, and I've got to say, I didn't see all the Rangers games, so I'm putting my hand up, because it was on TV, I watched the Celtic one. I've got to say, if I was a Celtic fan last night, I'd have no complaints whatsoever.
John, you're a good man. Thank you for kicking us off tonight. That was John in Parkhead. Kieran is in Livingston. As a Celtic fan, Kieran, what stood out for you last night?
Well, the thing for me is, when I first seen that starting lineup, I was over the moon to see Greg Taylor getting a start. I've been one of the Celtic fans that's been crying out to see him breaking into that team, and I think it's about time that he's done it. I thought he was one of the, I mean, the team were absolutely rampant, they were brilliant, but I thought he was one of the standouts, and I thought he brought something last night that we've been lacking for a really long time, which is decent quality crosses into the box, and he got his assist for it.
Yeah, what did you make of him last night, Mark? Kieran says he's been desperate to see Greg Taylor in, and he's not alone. You just have to listen to the show on any given night to see there's quite a group. How did he do?
Yeah, I thought he did very well. To be honest, I think he's did very well every time he's been in. I don't think he's been spectacular. He's certainly not Kieran Tierney at the minute, but you can see he's got a cultured left foot. He's bags of experience in this league, and I think that's the surprise with most Celtic fans, that we've not seen that much of him. You saw last night the quality he delivers, and when you get into those areas, that's when you're playing two strikers up front and Griffiths and Edward. That's what these guys rely on. That's what they want to feed off guys that are going to cross it. If you think back to Brendan Rodgers' teams, they very rarely crossed the ball. Everything was intricate and passed, and they would get to the touchline and come back out. You saw last night the way Neil Lennon wants to play. James Forrest getting the ball, first time cross. Greg Taylor, first time cross. Two guys in the box, and they get results. So if Neil Lennon's going to stick that way, he's going to play that way, then why not have a Greg Taylor there who's got a culture left?
What was your thoughts in the two wing backs, Mark?
I did say last that's what you're getting at. I did say last week also, for the record, that if Celtic play 3-5-2, I didn't think James Forrest would play that role. However, well, Frimpong was injured, so who else does he play? My argument was that he would probably play Frimpong there before Forrest. But
I just think they're at. Do you know what I noticed last night, Gordon? I thought, and I'll say in Cham for me last night, first half, I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Great goal as well, great header. And you've got guys like Christie there sitting, and he's probably now looking, thinking, see, we play that shape. Brown and McGregor are definite starters. So there's a position up there. And Cham's obviously doing everything he can. Christie would have been a stick on for everybody because of, you know, his form up until he got injured and suspended. And you look at Tom Rogic, desperate to get back. The one thing Neil Lennon's got just now, I think, an abundance, competition for places. And everybody, the minute they get in there, will be determined to stay.
Kieran, are you the type of Celtic fan that just marvels at the first 25 minutes, or are you the type that gets a wee bit frustrated that those levels couldn't be maintained in the second half?
To be honest, I mean, I would like to say that I feel like, oh no, it's job done at 3-0, which it is, but I'm the type of fan that if I see 3-0 at half time, I want 6-0 at 90 minutes. Gordon, if I'm honest with you, and I'm sure the guys will agree, it could have been 5-6 in the first half, easily. But
Kieran, it could have been 5-6 in the first 10 minutes.
Aye, I know, exactly.
I've got to say, I've never witnessed. In fact, the first game of the season, it was the same pattern. Celtic come out and Mikey Johnson scored after 2-3 minutes, and then it was a case of how many. When I was watching that game last night, and the way Celtic started, come out the blocks, I'm thinking, this has got to be another 7.
Kieran in Livingston, thank you very much for the call. It's 01419511025. Rangers fans, Yanis Hadji is in Glasgow. Looks like he will sign for the club on loan before the end of the window. What do you make of that? I know you've all been out there on YouTube and Wikipedia and whatever else you turn to look up your new signings. Maybe you've seen him on television before. What do you make of that signing? Is that one that excites you? Injury to Jermaine Defoe, injury to Mikey Johnson as well. So get your thoughts in. 01419511025. And we'll hear from both managers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A very busy one as well. Two big games to look back on last night. Some high profile injuries in both games. Potential signings with the transfer window closing tomorrow. It really is all happening. So give us a call on 01419511025 or tweet us at Clyde SSB. Andy is a Rangers fan from West Lothian. How are you tonight, Andy?
Hello, I'm not too bad. Thank you very much, guys.
Good stuff, Andy.
Hi, I'm travelling back to Bathgate to my own wee house in Blackridge, and I heard you mentioning Yanis Hadji.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the guy at all. I can remember Hadji quite a few years ago.
It's his dad.
And he remember quite a few years ago. Maybe his dad, aye.
It is his dad.
Can you enlighten me as to is it his dad, aye?
It is, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Yeah,
there
Georgie Hadji's boy. Well, what do you want to know about him? I mean, he's that's the thing that stands out. What a player his dad was, Gordon.
Unbelievable. tell you what a player he was, Gordon. Is that the boy McPherson that was Duff's assistant at Dunbarton?
That's his nickname, isn't it?
Hadji.
I think it's the other one. Oh, the original one.
No, yeah. The original one is a fantastic footballer. Well, he was a fantastic footballer. One of the best players in the world, Gordon.
Well, Andy, it looks like it is going to happen. He's in Glasgow. He's going to have a medical, then potentially sign on loan with an option to buy for €5 million at the end of the season. He is currently playing for Genk. He hasn't quite had much game time in Belgium as he would have hoped, but he got that €8 million move on the back of a successful year and a half back with his first club in Romania. So, Mark, you actually have seen him. You've watched a bit and you're impressed.
Yeah, I watched him in the under 21 Euro Championships, especially against England, and what an outstanding game it was. But he'd certainly looked impressive that game. And you're talking about against that England side that were full of stars who are playing in the Premiership week in, week out. This guy looked to pick it a bunch on the pitch, and I'm sure he scored in another few group games as well. And I think they progressed to the semi-finals, if memory serves me right. But he was one of the top players at the tournament and certainly looked an exciting. And they made a big thing how he was Hadji's son. And you could see with the way he played, because I remember Hadji when from growing up. You could see he picks the same areas and he's cultured. And That's why I said at the start of the show, that's an exciting one for the Rangers fan. If he comes in, he's certainly one that would excite guys going along to watch him.
Is that enough to excite you, Andy?
Yeah, you really have
you
made an old man very happy.
Don't take Mark
Wilson's line off. Before I go, I'd just like to say I'm sorry to see what happened to Jermaine Defoe, and I hope he gets well very soon.
Yeah, well said, Andy. Doesn't look like that is as bad as first feared, actually, Andy, so you might not be without him for too long. We've been in touch with some people who know Hadji a bit better than we do, trying to get the insight.
No,
listen, you've watched him. His dad was unavailable, unfortunately. We're going to try and get him in next week. We've been speaking to Belgian football reporter Sven Klaas. He says it hasn't worked out for Hadji at Genk this season because they changed their manager during the season. He says there's clearly a lot of talent in the Romanian international, but now he simply needs game time to be able to show it.
He came last summer as a big surprise. He came to the Belgian reigning champion and also to play Champions League. But to be honest, he couldn't really succeed in the Belgian League. Also, the team was really struggling after their successful coach, Philippe Clément, left last season. Felice Mazou came, and now also with Hannes Wolf, who aren't really big fans of Yannis Hadji. They prefer to play another type of play, and that's also the reason why he's now leaving Genk on loan. Yeah, now it's time for Yannis, of course, to start playing matches and developing. Despite Racing Genk having a really difficult period in the beginning of the season, Yannis Hadji, he performed really well. It's an attacking midfielder and he has some good feet. He knows where to walk, where the ball is. In my opinion, I don't think Glasgow Rangers are taking a big bet because he still has a lot of talent. He still has the tools. He has an excellent body. He keeps his feet really on the ground because a lot of people are saying he's the next Romanian talent, but he stays his feet on the ground. I still believe him in, like I said, but yeah, he really now needs to play, and maybe he had a really, really good tournament last year, of course, with the European Championship, U21, and he has the talent, of course. He has the name, but now it's time to show it on the pitch.
Yeah, it's just game time, Gordon. He's not managed a lot for Genk this season. 7 starts and 12 sub-appearances. When he's been on the pitch, I think he's actually done okay. But there's always a cynical side to this where people will say, yeah, for all the build-up that Mark gave him and other people gave, you know, if he was at the very top of his form at the moment, Genk wouldn't let him go on loan to Rangers.
Yeah.
However, there's clearly a pedigree there. There's clearly a talent there, and Steven Gerrard will be hoping he's the one to get the best out of him.
Yeah, it sounds like a player, obviously going with the description there, that he's a sort of a number 10, just plays off a striker. He's not an out and out striker. He'll go and make things happen. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he does come to Scottish football, how quickly he can settle in. He's described there as talent. He's certainly got the name with his father to live up to, and an excellent body. What more do you want in Glasgow?
That was maybe just lost in translation, to be fair. Mark, that last point though maybe is an interesting one, not only on the player himself but on the structure of the deal. Sven Klaas there saying it's not a gamble because he's a talented player, and also it's a loan until the end of the season, and then Rangers have the option to buy.
Yeah, so it's a no-lose situation for Rangers, really. Looking at, well, briefly seeing him in the Euro Championships and seeing what type of player he is, I think he's exactly what Rangers need. You know, they've got the three midfielders who sit there and, you know, do much of the same job. They play with wingers, but have they really got somebody who can drop in behind Morelos into holes and pick passes? Arfield does, and he scored a good goal time and again. However, I think this guy could be the guy that Rangers have looked for a number of seasons. Everyone last season, if you remember, saying Rangers have no number 10 really to create something and get in the holes. I think this could be the guy fit that mould.
Does that not go against the argument of the Rangers coaching staff who come out and, was it Twitter, Gordon, and said we play every game with two number 10?
Yeah, in terms of positionally, but I think Mark means more in terms of that individual player's skill set.
In terms of quality, what they're going to be good at. I mean, in terms of quality, you look at Davis, who's no brilliant talent and been great this season, Arfield and guys like that, but I think this guy could be a wee bit different from them. I think the guys will still play, but I think he'll be a welcome bonus.
James is also a Rangers fan in Barrhead. It's not quite over the line yet, James, but it looks like it's a goer. Is that one that excites you as a Rangers fan?
Yeah, evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, very much so. I think it's another step change in the kind of attitude of the players we want to bring in before we're bringing somebody that's smart with saying how good he was in the under-21 Euro Championships. It sounds like very much like one that we can build on, and hopefully 3 or 4 years down the line, after being a good service, if it moves on for some money, it could be brilliant for us.
Yeah, I mean, generally, James, we always do this thing. I don't know if it's a Scottish thing or maybe it's a bit old school, where some people just don't like loans. They don't like the idea of it. But are we seeing in recent seasons how beneficial it can be when you get a good look at a player before you have to part with any serious transfer fee?
Well, I think when you look at what's happening in the Premiership over the last few days, the amount of players that are coming in on loan with an option to buy, it's like a glorified trial that they're coming in, and obviously that if they meet certain criteria, we have to put in a bid for the player. But I think it's great for both parties that if somebody comes in and improves themselves. So I just think that if it does go across the line, it gives them 4 or 5 months to acclimatise the league, gives a chance to get a look at them. I'm not saying they won't have an impact before the end of the season, but we get a big bump from Defoe and Davis coming in during the qualifiers, etc., when they came in last January. So okay, it might cost us 5 or 6 months' wages, but probably money well spent if it hits the ground running. So
James, I can't disagree with that. I think you're 100% right. I would rather have the lad in. Remember, he's never played football in this country. He doesn't know anything about the style of football in this country. You could go out there and shell out a lot of money and the lad just doesn't settle, and it's cost you a right few quid. Whereas you get him in, it's costing you wages, probably, and a loan fee, because that's what happens nowadays. You get him in, see how he settles in. You've got to the end of the season, there's plenty of games. And then decide whether you like him. Does he like Glasgow? Does he like style of Scottish football? Does he like anything about it? I think this one is exciting, Rangers fans. And I'll probably be honest, I've never seen him play myself, but it excites me because of one thing: his name, his father.
You're easily pleased.
No,
bear in mind, St Mirren signed Jock Ayres' son at the start of the season. I've never seen him.
But this is
don't get carried away.
This is had. You just think about the name, and I think people are going, yeah, it'd be terrific, because in your mind you're thinking of the father Hadji and
so
the way
what
he
what about
used
Jock
to,
Ayres' son? What about Devante Cole? What about all the other poor relations we've
this
had? Rodney Schneider.
Hey, forget them.
I think with his name,
gonna
he
say,
comes
luckily,
from Genk, though, as well.
You have seen him. It's not. You're not going on his surname.
No,
you have actually seen the guy play.
But he's coming for a decent club. That's the thing. It's Jork IF and the likes. Who knows where they came from? But this is a decent club, brought in to play Champions League. All right, he didn't hit the heights, but...
Yeah, I wasn't saying he was going to be like those guys. I was just trying to warn Gordon. James, what about Jermaine Defoe's injury? This deal clearly was in the pipeline before Defoe's injury. It's happening regardless of that injury. How are Rangers fixed up front at the moment, even though it's not as bad as first feared, according to Stephen Gerrard?
They're not fixed, I'm afraid. I think Greg Stewart's, if they kind of play to his strengths, would probably be somebody that could plug a gap for 2 or 3 weeks. But I kind of feared when they were talking about Morelos possibly missing the game last night with a calf injury, but then all of a sudden he's on plane, he says he didn't want to rush him back and risk him. So I think that one's a little bit close, and if something happens there, it's not a good situation at all. But hopefully Defoe is back. I think he's done a really good job since he's come in. I think the team needed to adapt a wee bit better to sort of suit his style of play, but I think we're very, very close to sort of derailing here. Hopefully it's not as long as it first feels.
Okay, that was James in Barrhead. Thank you very much for your call, James. Neil Lennon says Mikey Johnson faces a long spell on the sidelines. It's suspected knee ligament damage. The Celtic boss says the winger tried to play on and it could have made the injury worse.
It will be long term. It was a bad twist. You know, he said there was contact, but it doesn't look like there's contact. It looks like he's just twisted the knee and there's, you know, a bit of swelling there and ligament damage.
Do you think the fact that he stayed on for a few minutes, did that make it worse?
It might have compounded the problem. It was annoying for me because we were making a substitution. You know, he's saying, yeah, I'm all right to carry on, but obviously, quite clearly after a couple of minutes, that wasn't the case. So, and we'd already made the substitution. So, yeah, it's a learning experience, if you want to call it that.
Willie's in Parkhead. Willie, what do you make of that Mikey Johnson situation?
Well, Neil just stole my thunder. That's what I wanted to talk about. Now, I thought the gaffer should have just weaked him off and Mikey should have been like, no, but I'm injured, let's get off. We played with 10 men after I came off. If that had happened in 60 minutes, we'd have had to play with 10 men for a half an hour. The gaffer should have been a wee bit stronger, I thought.
What happens in that situation though, Mark? I mean, surely there has to be a bit of trust in that the player knows his own body, and you see it all the time.
Yeah.
Bench is signalling to the player, are you okay? Player says yes or no.
You've got to trust the player in that situation. I mean, you're on the touchline. There's nothing you can do. You've got a physio who you put your trust in as well, who goes on and assesses. But ultimately, it comes down to the player. You know, you can only get a sense of how your body feels yourself if it's a knock that you can run off, or if it's something more serious. So that's why Neil was annoyed. He would have known Mikey Johnson would have been in pain. Like, I feel bad for Mikey Johnson, because he's obviously wanting to stay in the pitch as long as possible, show a good attitude, not, you know, shirk responsibility. But like Neil says, when it's to do with a team, decisions have to be quicker than what he made them.
Willie, you don't need to be a lip reading expert to tell that Neil Lennon wasn't happy with Mikey Johnson. Let's just say he told him to go away when he came off. We'll leave it at that. I think you all know what he actually said. What do you make of that, Willie?
Well, I thought now it was a wee bit out of order now. If Lloyd maybe wanted to talk to him now to explain to him, but now that wee word came out, maybe it shouldn't have happened, but it happened. It happened in football, everybody gets carried away. He was a bit frustrated because he had to make a sub he didn't need to make. So, and I thought that's what it was all about. So,
would you go along with that, Gordon? How will Neil Lennon look back in it? Do you think something he probably preferred didn't happen? Is it just getting caught up in the heat in the moment?
I do. I think it's something that he would probably look back and think, that was a mistake.
Or is that just part of football? I don't know. You guys have been there.
I'll throw this out in a minute then. I agree with Mark. As a player, when you get a knock, you think, a couple of minutes, I could run this off. He's just on the sub. He wants to make an impact. He wants to stay on. So the manager then has a decision to make. Does he hold the substitution for a couple of minutes? Yes, he's a bit upset with Mikey Johnson, but Mikey Johnson's only want to play football. He's want to stay on there. He thinks he can run it off. After a little bit, sore, has to come off. Neil Lennon, in his defence, is thinking, you've made this worse. We've made the substitute. You can see all that. But let me say, it's okay doing that to a young player. If that's Edward, for instance, is Neil Lennon sitting there telling Edward, oh, I hope everything's okay, get to go and do what you have to do.
That's plenty. Right,
all right,
yeah,
okay.
It's close,
no, it's not happening.
Edward's young as well. What do you mean?
But he wouldn't have said that to Edward. If that had happened with Edward or an experienced player like McGregor or whatever, Neil Lennon would not have said that.
Well, I don't know.
No, he wouldn't. I'm telling you now.
We are running a bit late for the travel, but I just want to let you have the final say, Willie. Anything else you want to add?
I heard a wee rumour now. There's a wee postman comes in, we have a good chat about our team. It's our same team and that, and he said a wee rumour that Neil's leaving at the end of the hangman.
End of the what, me? The season?
The end of the season. I joined the postman, now we have a good wee chat, and I'm only going with the rumours, but everything he's told me so far has been spot on.
I don't know how you feel about this, because it's usually taxi drivers, but now postmen are getting in. On the rumour mill. What else has he told you, Willie, that's come true, just so we can see if we can trust this postie?
Well, he was telling us about the police boy, you know, just signing that, and he knew about that, and that came through. Did he offer any reason
as to why Neil Lennon's going to leave at the end of the season?
No, I think he's getting a better offer down south. That was what the hangman was, so...
John the postman, John, if you're out there, give us a call.
John the postman's spouting all sorts of nonsense to people.
Might be right.
Can you imagine? Hey, Willie, don't tell him. Keep this quiet.
I might lose my job,
but don't tell him. What does Willie do? Right, okay, what's going on?
Willie, don't you.
John the postman told us.
Don't you let them take the mickey like that, Willie. If this comes true, you get back on this phone. You and John the postman will get each of you, one on each line, and we'll go to town on Mark and Gordon for doubting you. That was Willie in Parkhead. It's a perfect time for you to call, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Don't forget, in the second hour, your chance to win those hospitality tickets to an SPFL match of your choice, subject to availability. I keep putting that in there in case everyone goes for the same game and we've got people fighting over the tickets. But nevertheless, a game of higher or lower, and your chance to win the tickets later on in the show. Mark, I'm wondering if you would give us a bit of an insight, because we're talking about Yanis Hadji, we've got Sky Sports News on, we're thinking about tomorrow, 40, 50, 60, 80 million pound moves. I'm wondering about the realities of the transfer window at Brechin.
It's all kicking off.
You've signed Rhys McCabe today, former Rangers player. You told me a wee story about the player identification process and how different it is. Would you like to share it with the class?
Well, it's not quite Hadji-esque, but listen, last week at training I turned up and there was this boy there, and the owner of the training ground says, listen, there's a guy looking for you. And I said, who is he? He says, he says he's here to train with Brechin. Now, of course, you do all your numbers for training. Anyway, none the wiser, I'm putting the cones out and this boy's standing there. No idea who he is. And the assistant manager, Stevie Campbell, comes up and says to me, just spoke to this boy here. He's just turned up. Somebody from the club shop sent him. And I said, who's brought him? We couldn't get to the bottom of this, who's sent him. So I went over to the boy and I says, can I help you? He said, yeah, coach, I'm just here.
Coach? It's better than mushroom.
He gave me the coach line straight away. Listen, coach, I'm here to help Brechin. He was calling it Brechin. He was from London, a thick London accent. I said, all right, okay. I said, how did you get here? Well, I tell you what it was. I've drove here. And I said, you've drove here from London. Packed up my car, drove all the way to Dundee, found out where Brechin was, and then found out it was another 25 mile past Dundee.
Why Brechin though?
To the club shop and came back down here where you're training. I says, but why did you come here? He says, well, I looked at all the leagues in Britain and in Scotland, and I seen who was at the bottom of the league, and I saw Brechin, and I thought, I'm going to go and help Brechin. I'm going to show him how determined I am. And I said, I was gone. I was lost for words.
So is he a footballer? Has he played for a team?
I gave him this question, that very question. I says, what's your history? Oh, I played for Watford when I was a kid. I says, what age? I think he said something like 10 year old. I went to this club in Solihull Moors. It just didn't work out at Solihull Moors. So I went, listen, we're preparing for a game. I can't let you train. You understand? Anyway, I go over and I start chanting Stevie, the assistant manager, and we look over and he's stretching in the corner and he's doing his warm up.
Please tell me you listen.
I went over and I says, look, you can join in the warm up and
shine there.
Some drills.
Some wee passing drills.
Please tell me he was brilliant.
He was absolutely horrendous.
Oh no.
So horrendous to the point you know, I almost felt sorry for him. And
I do feel, I like his ambition. I like the fact he packed up the car and chased his dream.
Determination,
more than
Gordon,
can be said for you
to help
Brechin.
To help Brechin, and he drove, what is it, 600 miles or something?
Booked in a hotel in Dundee,
booked
Gordon.
In a hotel.
Then after Brechin.
Dave, see if you're listening, I love it. I absolutely love it.
He says his name is David, but listen, he'd just turning up in the spot.
Did he join in with the running or anything? Did you at least let him feel involved?
We did a wee bit of running around the park as a warm up, and the captain who took the warm up, right, let's lift it, lads. And there was David up the front, bombing away from everybody, trying to show his fitness, and the boy, leaving the boys for dead. And I thought, I think that's his game.
Do you know what?
I think running's his game.
I don't. I hope you've missed a trick here. I hope he's an absolute superstar. I like his ambition.
He didn't go, put it this way, he didn't go through the right channels to just turning up. I wouldn't encourage it.
Listen, turning up at your game with a pair of boots is going through the right channels. he left Brechin and went to help on Troz. So he's went up a bit.
I hope it pops up on the ticker tomorrow. No, I hope he's signed for somebody in the top flight. Anyway, enough about that. Let's speak to Jim and Clyde Bank. Hi, Jim.
Hello there, how are you?
Good, Jim.
How are you doing, panel?
Hi, Jim.
I would just like to I've got a few concerns about Rangers at the moment in goal scoring. And I feel that Rangers, they're not scoring enough goals. Now, that might sound strange. You know, St Mirren 1-0, Ross County 2-0, Stranraer 2-0, albeit that was a cup. And I feel that this year, this season in particular, is going to be, I think Rangers, it's going to be a very tight season. And there's always that possibility in the back of your mind that it could potentially go to goal difference. And with Rangers not scoring as many goals against, they suspect, the lesser teams, I think that could have a massive impact. I mean, you look at Celtic, for example, 4-0 against Aberdeen, 3-0 last night, and that was only in the first half.
Yeah, but Jim, when you look at it overall, and you're right, it could well come down to goal difference. I don't think anyone doubts that at all, but Celtic's advantage in goal difference terms is 6 at the moment. Rangers have a game in hand, so it's not that big a gap at the moment, is it?
No, it's not a big gap, not at all. I'm not suggesting that for a minute, but I mean, what I'm trying to say, I suppose, is against teams like St Mirren, against teams like Ross County, for me, Rangers should be scoring 3-4, maybe more goals. Albeit Rangers are winning, certainly yes, but there's always that wee nickel. I had to agree with Hugh the other night, and I do feel that the league will go down to the Celtic Rangers games. I think it hinges on those games. So I don't know, maybe I've got it wrong, I don't know, just my opinion on it, you know.
Yeah, well, time will tell. Jim and Clydebank, thank you very much for putting your point across. Speaking of goal scorers, Defoe played last night, Jim, and he got the goal, obviously was stretchered off. Alfredo Morelos came back after suspension. Stephen Gerrard says he admires the way Alfredo Morelos has coped after police took his car in for examination after a man was found allegedly tampering with it. He says the club will support him throughout that investigation.
I don't know the full details just yet. I haven't had a chance to speak to Alfredo. I was only aware of the incident a couple of hours before kickoff, but I'm told it's a police investigation now, so we'll support that. And there's not really much I can say on the incident now, but the good thing is he's fine, he's okay, and we'll see what comes from it. But what I'm told, obviously a very unfortunate situation, and not one that happens here every day, that's for sure.
I think he was quite shaken up.
he's fine, because that's the way he is. He's pretty laid back, and he handled the situation extremely well, probably better than I would have done. But I can't go into much details over it, really. But he's fine, and he was fine tonight. His body and the injury's fine, which is the most important thing for me. And he's fine in himself, and he'll be ready for the weekend.
We're a bit like Stephen Gerrard on this one, in terms of police are trying to get to the bottom of what actually happened. So probably would be wrong of us or anyone in the phones or anyone in the studio to speculate on what did or didn't happen without, in all honesty, having the faintest idea. The allegation is there. I think everyone, if you think about it, would agree that it would be wrong to speculate either way until such times as we do know what went on. And you never know, maybe that will be soon, maybe it will be a bit further down the line. I think what we can say, we hope Alfredo Morelos is okay, we hope his family are okay, we hope they're not too shaken, we hope they've come through it okay. But I think everyone would agree it's probably best, just for now, whilst the police investigation is underway, that we leave it there. It is time for this though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Gordon DL is ready. He's been swatting up all week. Mark Wilson's here as well. And if you want to win a signed ball off him, you have to call us right now before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025. Come on, answer more questions right than them, and the signed ball is yours.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here, looking back on last night's games, looking at injury situations, potential new signing for Rangers. That was the main gist of the first hour. So if you've got any thoughts on them, you can keep them coming as well. We're going to look at today's decision at Hampden to give Brian Rice an immediate 5-game ban for breaching betting rules. What do you think of that? Is that the right course of action, the wrong course of action? Have you any words of sympathy or support or advice for Brian Rice or anyone else who might be in that situation? Now is the time to call 0141 951 1025, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. 1 week since Gordon DL last lost. Doesn't seem like a long time.
Hold on,
it was 1 week.
How did it go on Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, he won on Tuesday, but I'm just saying it's a week since she last
Trash
lost.
Tom from Motherwell, I found out who he is.
Correct.
It's a week since she Motherwell last lost. For us,
one of you two will be up against Chris, just a bit further out, not far from you this time. Wisher, not Motherwell.
Oh.
We've got Chris and Wisher. How are you, Chris?
Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Chris, would you be able to choose? Would you have one? Do you feel like one of these two is weaker than the other at Beat the Pundit?
Gordon.
Right, okay, interesting.
One defeat in September.
Interesting.
Quite right, Chris.
Yeah, yep. That one defeat was last week, though, so you're only as good as your good. Last week.
Yep.
Heads, it's Mark. Tails, it's Gordon, Chris. So we'll see if you get your wish. You don't. It's Chris against Mark. Coach. They're calling him now. Coach.
Is we Davey on the phone?
I really don't think you should. I don't think you should laugh. I think he could turn out to. It could be. Remember, was it not Mahrez was in trial at St Mirren and he left or something?
What?
Mahrez was in trial at St Mirren.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Who was your manager then?
You.
Anyway,
don't say that, Gordon.
I'm telling you, Davey's going to turn out to be an absolute superstar. Right, it's Chris. We're going to give Mark some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he can't hear you. You've got 30 seconds, Chris, head to head with Mark. The secret, if you've never heard it before, is that you can pass. So if you don't know it, just pass it and move on to the next one, okay?
Right.
Good man, Chris. Your time starts now. Rangers are close to signing Yanis Hadji on loan from which club?
Pass.
Name any of the co-managers at Falkirk.
Oh, pass.
How many points separate Hearts and Hamilton at the bottom of the Premiership?
3.
Which League 2 team has the distinction of being the first Scottish team ever to feature on TV?
Pass.
Who did Hearts beat in the 06 Scottish Cup final?
Hibs.
Who was Brendan Rodgers' assistant at Celtic?
Oh my god.
Take your time. The whistle's gone. We've started the question. You can answer it. Who was Brendan Rodgers' assistant at Celtic?
No, mind blank. This is terrible.
Oh, Chris, the pressure. The pressure's got to you. Let's bring Mark back. Mark, can you hear us?
Almost got two songs here. That seemed quite long.
But what do you mean it seemed quite long?
It seemed a long 30 seconds.
But how do you know when I started the clock?
Because I got a couple of songs here.
He does it all the time, Maz.
I don't know.
Maybe I was wrong.
No, when I send you to Clyde 2, right?
Or you don't start the clock.
How do you know how long I speak to Chris before I put the music?
I took my earphones off, right? And I heard you saying to Chris, I'll let you finish the question, but you've only got a minute.
You've only got six months, right? Same set of questions to you, Mark. Anyway, enough of your morning. Ready?
Yep.
Rangers are close to signing Yanis Hadji on loan from which club?
Genk.
Name any of the co-managers at Falkirk.
Wayne Miller.
How many points separate Hearts and Hamilton at the bottom of the Premiership?
5.
Which League 2 team has the distinction of being the first Scottish team to feature on TV?
Brechin.
Who did Hearts beat in the 2006 Scottish Cup final?
Gretna.
Who was Brendan Rodgers' assistant at Celtic?
Chris Davies.
And which other Scottish team has Christopher Eyre played for?
Kilmarnock.
Okay. Chris Davies, Chris.
I know.
It's Chris Davies. It's the pressure, isn't it? It's different when you come on.
What do
you
say?
Nothing. But he was on the tip of his tongue. Right, let's find out the damage, Chris, because there was quite a lot of it, if I'm being honest. Rangers are close to signing Yanis Hadji on loan from Genk. 1-0 to Mark. Name any of the co-managers at Falkirk. You had the choice of Lee Miller or David McCracken. 2-0 to Mark. How many points separate Hearts and Hamilton? Hey, I might go downhill from here. Don't you get carried away. How many points separate Hearts and Hamilton at the bottom? It's only 1. I mean, you said 5.
Horrendous. That was
miles
a couple of weeks
ago. Rubbish.
What'd Chris say?
He got it wrong as well.
I was closer than him.
That's true. You're clinging on.
Well,
Chris.
Done, Chris.
You seriously think Brechin were the first Scottish team to feature on TV?
They just when you said League 2, it's Queen's Park, isn't it? Aye. I don't know. I thought that was a trick question for you, Andy, trying to trick me up.
It would be some trick.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, think about it.
I know.
Anyway. I'll not be a question.
Anyway,
next year.
I knew it was a couple ahead.
Queen's Park were the League 2 team who were the first Scottish team to feature on TV. So it's only 2-0 to Mark at this stage. It did get a bit worse. Hearts beat, they did beat Hibs at some point in a cup final, Chris, but 2006 was Gretna. Mark goes 3-0 in front, then 4-0 because Chris Davis was Brendan Rodgers. That's the one that's going to haunt you, Chris.
I know.
You're going to see Chris Davis in your dreams.
I know the other 5
tonight. I don't worry about the other 5.
Nah, but that's the one I think you should have maybe got, if I'm being unfair. What other Scottish team has Christopher Eyre played for? You didn't get that far, but Mark did. It was Kilmarnock. So that's a 5 to Mark.
Whitewash.
Chris
even had the cheek to say he would play me.
Chris,
what's your second name again?
Smith.
From Wishaw.
Aye.
I think I know Chris Smith. Whereabouts?
Don't tell him, Chris.
He'll get that rang as well.
What number? Pass.
Chris, don't listen to them. It takes bravery to come on here and play. I appreciate your time, Chris. Good man, Chris.
Cheers.
Cheers. See you later.
See you, Chris. Chris, are you checking the door?
You two are horrible.
Children.
Children. Absolute children.
Oh, Chris.
I'll be honest, even you said there, you'd probably get that wrong as well. That is one of the funnier things you've ever said on the show. If I'm being honest, that wasn't bad. That actually wasn't too bad.
A resounding victory.
By your low standards, that was quite funny.
I'm not be phoning that show again.
He's changing the station just now to Clyde 2.
There's also no chance it is Smith. He's just given us the most generic name ever.
That was his only clever answer. I thought he handled that one well.
It did come up on my screen, Chris Smith, but. No, buying it?
Absolutely no chance.
If
no.
anyone recognises Chris's voice, you can get on to him.
Yeah.
Right, it feels a bit wrong going from such hilarity to something that is a lot more serious, so please do compose yourself, because this does deserve your full attention, your seriousness. Hamilton boss Brian Rice, he says his ban for breaking gambling rules is a step towards beating his addiction. He will miss the next 5 games. He has another 5 match ban suspended after he admitted betting on various football matches. He was speaking at Hampden today as well.
I'm relieved it's over. A really good hearing, very fair hearing. I deserve my punishment. I'll serve my punishment. And then it's back to football matters. It's a big weight lifted off my shoulders. You know, I've let a lot of people down, but I've handed myself in. You know, I'm being honest to myself, I'm being honest to everybody. You know, I'm a compulsive gambler who hasn't gambled today. You know, and that's it, one day at a time. But the support I've had for everybody, family, friends, the club, the chairman, everybody, you know, it's been overwhelming.
Does this give you a little bit of closure today? You can move on now that you know what your punishment is and you can deal with your issues?
You can move on till tomorrow. Like I said, take it one day at a time. Just keep working as hard as I work and try and make things better for everybody.
Do you worry that this might affect the team, the fact that you're not going to be in charge for the next few weeks?
No, there's a good backup. I've got good backup there. I trust everybody at the club. You know, we're a team. It's no Brian Rice, it's Hamilton.
What do you think out there in the phones? I know a lot of you spoke with great honesty, bravery from your own experiences, and maybe just from looking on from an outside perspective as well. What do you make of that decision today? Clearly lots of people do find it harsh, but actually Brian Rice doesn't. He's not one of them, Gordon. You can hear there he's hands up sort of thing. Yes, he's got an addiction, but he acknowledges that he broke rules, and he seems pretty comfortable with his punishment. Other people might not be, but that's the way it is, and obviously we wish him well and hope that he moves forward.
Yeah, I like the way he's handled it today, Gordon. It must have been a real difficult afternoon for him getting up there. He's admitted it. They say that the first step to recovery is putting your hands up and admitting you've got a problem. The great thing that he's got in his favour, the guys at Hamilton Accies are absolutely brilliant. Guys like Colin McGowan, Ronnie McDonald, Alan Maitland, people like that. They're absolutely fantastic. They'll support him, they'll work with him, they'll help him as much as they possibly can. He's got good staff round about him, and the supporters, I'm sure everybody will get behind him. Yeah, people can argue about, well, it was too lenient, it was too much or whatever. The one thing you heard Brian saying there is, I deserve to get punished. I went up, I've taken my medicine, now it's one step at a time, and I wish him all the very best in his recovery. And he's a terrific lad, Brian. And as I say, all I can do is wish him all the best.
Yeah, I'll echo that, what Gordon says, and I think a lot of people will be the same. Took tremendous bravery to firstly come out and admit the problem, and then to go up there. You know, it's not just anybody out in the street admitting it, and that takes great bravery, any other person. But to be there in front of the media, and it affects his livelihood, it affects his staff and his team potentially. To put yourself out there like that takes great bravery. And I wonder if it's, you know, a wee bit of closure for him. Like Alison was saying there, he can move on. It'll be a weight off his shoulders. Serve his ban. And, you know, he's a strong, strong individual. And Hamilton are lucky to have a coach like him. You know, it shows the strength of character he's got. And we wish him all the best.
Yeah, let's take a call on it. And let's hear from you. Because when we introduced this story, was it last week, the week before, the level of understanding and support and experience on the phones, actually, so I was taken aback by it. It was incredible just to hear some of your stories. But even if you're just looking at it from the outside and you want to give us your reaction to it, then now is the perfect time to do it. 01419511025. You can tweet as well. We are at Clyde SSB, the usual number, 01419511025. Martin is in Falkirk. How are you tonight, Martin?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good, thank you, Martin. What's your sort of your gut reaction, your instant feeling after hearing that ban for Brian Rice?
Rules are rules, and, you know, he deserves a punishment for breaking the rules, but whether you agree with the rules or not is a different question. Now, he's been punished for being, for basically being a football fan like the rest of us, who all like a little flutter, a little accumulator down the line. It's okay for the SFA to be okay with heavily advertisement of different betting companies plastered all over the stadiums, over the media, but yeah, it's not okay for players or managers to have a little bet. I mean, these, first and foremost, all these people, they're football fans. They're all football fans. And then when they go home, they're no longer the manager of Rangers. They're no longer the manager of this. They're back to being basically a football fan who might like a little flutter. I just don't get why they're not allowed to do it.
There are a couple of different issues here, though, Martin, because I get what you're saying, but I'm wondering how accurate it is. When Brian Rice goes home, unfortunately, he is still the Hamilton manager, and he's not just a football fan. Now, like I say, two separate issues. He's a gambling addict, and therefore there is a serious issue here that we hope he can come through. But if you're questioning just specifically the rules, and I know people might not like them, but they're extremely clear, aren't they?
Yeah, the rules are clear and they're not to be broken. But I mean, it's like contradictory. I mean, the SFA are allowing clubs to heavily advertise betting companies at the same time say, no, I'm sorry, you can't bet. Yeah. You can have it all advertised. No, you're not allowed to use it.
Well, that's another of the big issues as well. And actually, Brian Rice was asked about it. He faced that head on. There are calls from fans like Martin, from many people, to look at the relationship between football and gambling companies. But Brian Rice, speaking as a gambling addict, actually doesn't think that's a major factor.
Scottish football needs the support of the betting industry, the money they put into it. Betting industry didn't make me do what I've done. Mm. Brian Rice made Brian Rice do what he done. So we need the support of the bookmakers. You know, every club will tell you that, and we're no different, and we back that. It was my individual choice what I done, because I was an addict. Now I'm in recovery.
Martin, sometimes I think it's okay to sort of hold your hands up and say, I don't know. I actually don't know exactly how I feel on this, purely because I've never been a gambling addict. And therefore, I sort of try and bow to Brian Rice and other people who come on the phone. Some people came on the phone as former addicts and said, we need rid of gambling companies. We can't have it in people's faces. Then another guy came on last week and said, I'm a gambling addict, but I don't actually think the advertising is the problem. And Brian Rice is saying something similar. So I actually don't know. Therefore, Martin, what do you make of Brian Rice's feeling on what you just raised?
I'm not disputing that there's something wrong with having betting companies advertising, but it's the SFA's decision to have these rules in place, even though they're happy to have all these advertisements. That's the problem. People have gambling problems, I get that, and they probably won't blame the advertisement. Myself, I'm just an occasional accumulator kind of person. I've barely put anything more than, you know, 5-10 quid on every weekend, but I just think it's contradictory. SFA are okay smashing down these laws, but they're okay for the advertisements to be free-flowing. It just seems a tiny bit contradictory to me, as if they're being a bit too harsh for something they're quite happy to heavily promote.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Mark and Gordon, I don't think anyone could wholeheartedly disagree with that, because there clearly is, there's an overlap there. Brian Rice doesn't think it's an issue, so fair play to him. Other people might.
Yeah, you're right. I quite like how Brian Rice has approached that, you know, taking responsibility for his own actions. As I touched on earlier, very brave of him to come out, but to follow up with a statement like that, it's quite an easy thing, standing under the William Hill sign, to point fingers and say, well, this is the cause of it. I think the first step to all that is actually accepting how he got in that situation at the time. Yes, Gordon, you're right. There's probably people out there who will put links in their experiences, but for Brian Rice, he's categorically said, this is down to me. It's not down to the gambling companies. And he's right in a sense. Our Scottish game, you know, taking an awful lot of money for these companies. Yes. So, you know, where's it? It's tough to find the balance.
I guess it's
here.
Just about, people would just say, well, you need to find alternatives, Gordon. Because if you go on the continent, it's non-existent. It's a British thing. It's a Scottish thing. It's non-existent on the continent.
Yeah, I don't think. Some places. I don't think it's all down to the the obviously the bookies and the advertising, Gordon, because you can be, you can have other addictions. You see it in the TV, you see it everywhere you go as well. Brian Rice come out, he's brave enough to say, look, it was Brian Rice's choice. I understand what Martin's saying by saying the rules are, he doesn't agree with the rules. Now, basically, I slightly agree with him in one way. I would, obviously, I don't like players betting in Scotland, mm-hmm. right? And their leagues are betting and whatever. But I do not see, honestly, if you've not got a problem and you like a wee £5, what is the harm of an ordinary guy
betting on Real Madrid against
betting yeah. in a Spanish game and, or an English
and
game?
I do get that as well.
Yeah, I can't understand.
If you forced me on my personal feelings, I'd probably agree. But just to be fair and to try and balance up all sides of the argument, is it not easier to just have zero tolerance? Is it not simple just to say, don't bet in football, end of story? There are no ifs, no buts, no maybes, and everyone knows. And if you really like gambling, if you like gambling but you're not an addict, go bet on horse racing, go to the casino, do what you like, as long as it's within moderation. Just do not bet on football. That's Is it not easier to police? That's the way it is.
But it is easier to police. Brian Rice has come out, and it was Brian Rice that put his hands up. SFA haven't caught Brian Rice gambling. Brian Rice has put his hands up. You're not telling me, Gordon, throughout all the leagues in Scotland, and I know, because I know people.
Yeah, that, and I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, that, and one
the
or
players
two,
still do it.
1,000,000%. Yeah. 1,000,000%. But fortunate that the majority of the guys don't have what Brian Rice has unfortunately got as an addiction to it.
Okay, 01419511025. If you are on the line for our competition, we're going to give the tickets away. Let's do that in about 15-20 minutes time. We're going to move it back tonight. It just feels wrong to interrupt the flow of such a serious discussion and have the competition right now. We're still definitely going to do it. We're definitely going to do it before the end of the show, so just listen a little bit longer and I will give you the signal to phone in for the competition. We will do that, but we're going to continue getting your reaction to Brian Rice and we'll get the guys a teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan. All this week at this time, we've been giving you the chance to win tickets to an SPFL match of your choice. Hospitality, subject to availability. We're just going to move it back a little bit tonight. We're still going to do it, but we're going to do it in about 10-15 minutes time. So just listen out, I'll give you the signal to call and we'll do it then, because we're in the middle of a really important conversation about Brian Rice and I don't really want to just interrupt it and go away for too long. So hopefully you understand, but we will do it soon. Keep listening. We've had a tweet in from a Twitter account by the name of Chrissy.
No, no, Chrissy
Smith. He says, I had a mare on Beat the Pundit. I'll be back next week, he says.
Chrissy's enthusiasm.
And Jerry Kelly tweeted in as well. He says, Beat the Pundit, Chris Smith, I can confirm that is his real name, says Jerry.
Oh, so, Chrissy Smith.
I wouldn't be tweeting it if I was Chrissy Smith.
There are a lot of people not too happy with the decision to ban Brian Rice today. Houston says, all the best, Mr. Rice, in his ongoing recovery. SFA had an opportunity to do some good. As usual, they blew it, says Houston. Yeah, really, so many, too many to read out, but very similar thoughts really coming in from everyone. Fair play to the guy. First step to recovery, says Spark, but rather than ban him, why not help him? It stinks from the SFA, SPFL, happy to have betting companies over their cups and sponsors and take their money. Maybe they are helping him, though, as well. I wouldn't pretend to know.
Do you know why, Gordon?
Sounds pretty comfortable with his punishment. Let's hope that there is a structure in place as well.
The thing I liked about his interview as well, and yeah, I think they are helping him a little bit, and I've got every sympathy, like a lot of people, with Brian, but I admire Brian because I think he went up there saying, do you know what? I don't want to get the sympathy. I don't want the, you know, oh, we'll not ban you for a game. He wanted to be treated like every other manager because he wants to move on with his life. He wants to keep going forward. And I think at the end of the day, he's accepted it and one step at a time for
him. Okay, let's speak to David, who's a Hamilton Accies fan in Hamilton. Hi, David.
Hi, guys.
What do you think, David? Are you feeling a bit sorry for your manager tonight? I'm sure a lot of Accies fans are rallying round offering support.
I've got a slightly different perspective on it, I think. I think the way the manager has dealt with it and the way the club has backed him up, I'm extremely proud of all of that aspect. And I think that the SFA had to ban the way they did because they have rules in place and there's consequences if you break them, and that's the same in any walk of life, even outside football. However, my concern is that if we take this issue and make it disappear, would we be having a conversation that Aki should be looking for a new manager depending on results on the field? And will Aki's now feel obligated to help him and hold on at the risk of being relegated?
Well,
last year we had Martin Cannon in a similar position and we got rid of him and replaced him with Rice. Now, had this not happened, would the club be taking steps to replace him? But now it has happened, we won't.
Right, I kind of see what you mean here. So you're separating the two issues and saying that you're actually just talking about the football side of things here and saying if there was a time where results weren't good enough, the club now couldn't get rid of Brian Rice because they're standing by him due to the gambling. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of it. And I don't mean to be derogatory about Brian Rice or anything like that as well. I'm just thinking it from a club's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid question, Gordon. But I mean, some things are a bit bigger than football. Maybe that's what we're learning during this. I know that's hard for fans.
I think knowing Hamilton Accies, knowing the people there, I think that football decisions will be made differently. And I think Brian Rice, like he's accepted his punishment today, would accept that in the football side. But I am very confident and 100% saying this. If Brian Rice and Hamilton had to part because of football results, let me tell you, the guys inside there, the Colin McGowns of this world, would not give up on Brian. They would continue to be supportive and continue to help Brian, whether he was at the club or not at the club in any capacity whatsoever. And I'm sure that Hamilton Accies are professional enough, and so is Brian Rice, because he showed that today. It's football results, and then obviously the help that he's getting from other departments as well.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think, you know, the club's a professionally run club that they're looking out for their manager at the minute. When it comes to results, that's different. You know, that's a different side of it. So it's a real difficult situation for both involved. But at the time being, the club just have to look at the current situation. Brian Rice being a very, very good coach and manager, and they'll want him to be at his best. And that means supporting him and giving him everything they've got at the minute to get Hamilton out the mess.
David, thank you very much for your call. That was David, an Accies fan from Hamilton. It really is all happening. We're going to struggle to squeeze everything in. Rangers have confirmed Borna Barisic has signed a new contract at the club till 2024.
It's a good one. Yeah.
You two still even haven't had your teaser yet, have you? Quickly though,
Barisic. Good news on Barisic. Listen, great news. When you go back to the St Mirren game away, and we keep going back to this, he scores a free kick. He was in and out. You know, was he going to be a major part of Steven Gerrard's plans? From that moment on, he's been one of Rangers' best players, so it's a no-brainer to give him a new deal.
It is almost 14 years to the day since Mark Wilson made his Celtic debut.
Was that right?
That was ages ago.
We're 2 days out. 28th of January.
That's when I signed.
Oh,
when
you signed?
28th of January 2006, you made your debut for Celtic against your old club, Dundee United, in a memorable 3-3 draw. Name the Celtic starting 11.
He's in it, right?
That's
Wilson,
the question. So,
back.
So that would be 28th of January 2006. If you want to join in, that's the era you have to be thinking of. Which 11 players may have played in that time?
McManus playing that
me.
Year.
I tell you, Boric and goals.
Yes.
McManus?
No.
No, Jackie McNamara. I tell you, no, Sheldon.
I don't know.
I remember who played beside me.
Where did you play?
Adam Virgo.
This is Ian McIntosh who sent the question Adam in, by Virgo? The way. Yeah, Adam Virgo played.
Played centre half.
Did you play left centre half?
I played right back. I was a right back. How many times I need to tell you this?
No, you were. I've got you doing his left back. I've changed your position.
I played right back.
Yeah, you were right back. You played. So Boric, Wilson, Virgo,
Boyd, Zarafsky.
Yep,
Zarafsky scored.
Who did you say?
Boyd.
Boyd.
Boyd. Tom Boyd. Tom Boyd's retired at least 10 8 years before I got
not Tom Boyd.
Zarafsky.
Yep.
Maloney. No.
Yep.
Yeah.
McGeady.
No. Any more?
Well, I've not got any.
Centre Park would have been Stan Petrov.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there. Let's speak to Ken in Cambuslang. Hi, Ken.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Hi Ken, have you got a particular view on Brian Rice?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that to applaud the Beaks for, I think, a bit lenient and Brian Rice today, mainly because he gassed himself up. I think previously they have hammered players, especially with like bigger bands, like 10-game bands, etc. But what I'd like to say is my granddad, God rest his soul, past the 70s, he was a heavy gambler. And that was well before any advertising for gambling was about. So I think blaming the advertising by these gambling companies is out of order.
Is it not, Ken, more that it doesn't help, or it might make it worse, rather than saying it's the root cause of the problem? I'm not sure anyone's saying that. I think people acknowledge that gambling addiction has been around since before advertising, but I think the question is, does it help? Would it help to remove it?
Well, I mean, with gambling advertising these days, I mean, they're always gamble sensibly, be aware, etc. All that is advertising alongside it. You know, so I don't think it's contributing to it at all. You know what I mean? For Brian Rice, I hope he manages to go over his addiction. I mean, no matter what, like an alcoholic, he'll always be a gambling addict regardless. But the first step for any addict, no matter if it's gambling or whatever, the first step is to admit that they've got the problem. And he's done that, and hopefully it's just uphill. It's just a steady shit for him now, and he manages to get over this. And I'm sure with the help of his family, his friends, and the Hamilton Football Club, he will hopefully get through this and come out a better person the other side.
Yeah, well said, Ken. I think what I'm sort of learning on the phones is that maybe it's just a personal thing. We debate football furiously, and everyone's always determined to really pick a side. You know, you have to be so sure about this. It's either that side or that side. But maybe it is down to the individual, because I'm hearing so many gamblers or family members who say they don't think betting companies are the problem. Other addicts do. Interested onlookers who've never had to deal with addiction might think it is or might think it's not. It just seems to me, Mark, a really difficult situation, and I'm not sure that you can just easily clear it up.
No, I don't think so, Gordon. There's many different viewpoints, many different experiences and how people got to this situation. So it's not a simple one to deal with or comment on. But one thing's for sure, I mean, the majority of the people here are right behind Brian Rice. Sure. And I think it's because his bravery, because how upfront he was about it, and because, like Daz said, when he arrived at Hampden today, he wasn't looking for the pity or the sympathy. It was, give me the punishment and I'll deal with it.
Right, thank you to Ken and Cambus Lang. So much to try and squeeze in between now and the end of the show. Just quickly, something that's breaking tonight: widespread reports that Rangers are interested in a loan move for Florian Kamberi, the Hibs striker. Now, they obviously have Morelos, they will have the fullback in a few weeks, so it would be as that extra striker that you keep saying you think they need, mm-hmm. Gordon. On his day, a good fit, the consistency might be an issue. What's your reaction?
No for me.
Okay. That was short and sweet. Yeah, not so sweet.
I don't think that Hibs are in a great position to. He's one of their best players. Why would you let one of the best players?
I think it looks likely at this stage, though.
Is it?
Well, maybe Hibs are trying to get him out to get someone else in.
Well, hold on a minute. So if I was Rangers, no disrespect to Hibs, and I'm looking at Hibs trying to get this player out the door to get a better player in, why would I be taking him? Kamberi, to me, I can understand as a backup, and I've always said,
well, that's
that
all he would be.
I understand. I said it's very, very hard for a backup to get a real quality one. Kamberi to Rangers, yes or no? It's probably a Chrissy for me. It's a no.
I mean, Mark, how many times have we've seen Kamberi have a real impact on games? It's more about how often he does it. But there's no doubt that.
I think he's got his qualities. I've watched him against Celtic and Rangers and give them a tough time. I think he's big and strong. What a pace. Certainly can score the odd spectacular goal as well. I think if you're looking for a backup striker, listen, I think he'll do the job. I don't think you're going to get a Cosgrove or somebody like that to come in. I think he's a no bad fit.
Wee Davey.
Time for this.
Clyde One's Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play. Bag a winning result. Please gamble responsibly.
Here is the chance you've been waiting for. Your chance to win VIP hospitality for two to the SPFL game of your choice, subject to availability. All you have to do is come on here and play a game of higher or lower. Get three right in a row and you're off to that game. So 0141 951 1025. Call now and call before the end of this break.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
On the home stretch into the final part tonight with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Very quickly, we're looking for more answers on the teaser. We're trying to name the Celtic starting 11 from your debut, Mark Wilson. It was 28th of January, 06, 3-all against Dundee United. You've got Boric, Wilson, Virgo, Petrov, Maloney, Zaravsky.
Lennon.
Yes.
Yes.
Lennon.
Gordon.
I think up front as well was John Hartson.
Yep.
Yes.
We'll leave it there. You've got three to get. I think you're going to absolutely squish them. Right. A bit later than usual, but you've all been waiting on it. It's time for this.
Clyde One's Super Scoreboard and Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play. Bag a winning result. Please gamble responsibly.
Really enjoyed this all week. We've been giving you the chance to win VIP hospitality for two to the SPFL match of your choice, subject to availability. It's been a very popular competition, higher or lower. It's a pretty simple concept. We give you transfer fees. You have to go higher or lower. You get three right in a row and you win those tickets. Let's meet tonight's first contestant. He's Chris from Hamilton. How are you, Chris?
Good
stuff. Through first, Chris. Now, I don't mean to put the pressure on, but in the last two nights, the first contestant has just come on, got all three right and walked away with the prize. You fancy your chances?
Won't we?
Give it a bash, Chris. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a transfer fee. And by the way, for anyone who cares or who's wondering, we've just taken all of these from Transfer Market website. So don't bother phoning me in and telling me that you got that wrong by 50 grand. Just to maintain consistency, these fees are all taken from the same website. It's just a bit of fun for higher or lower. So I'm going to start you off, Chris, with Kenny Miller from Celtic to Derby for 4.05 million, okay? So Kenny Miller, Celtic to Derby, 4.05 million. Can you tell me Gary Hooper from Celtic to Norwich was at higher or lower than Kenny Miller's 4.05 million? Gary Hooper, Celtic to Norwich.
Higher.
It was, well done, that's one down. It was 5.67 million. Next one then, Scott McDonald from Celtic to Middlesbrough. Was it higher or lower than Gary Hooper's 5.67?
Lower.
It was, well done, 3.87 million. This is the one you need for the tickets. Was Carlos Cuellar from Rangers to Aston Villa higher or lower than Scott McDonald's 3.87?
Higher.
It was higher. It was nearer the £9 million mark. As simple as that, Chris. You've got three in a row and you win the tickets. Joel, Veronica, James, you were all next in the queue. I am sorry, but Chris was just too tough to beat. You guys will have to try again tomorrow night. Chris, stay on the line and producer Andy will hopefully be able to hook you up with those hospitality tickets to the match of your choice. Are you happy with that?
I'm ecstatic. I thank you.
Good man. That was Chris in Hamilton. Easy as that, Gordon Deal. Easy as that.
They're squishing that, aren't they?
Absolutely.
That's quite, it's quite easy.
Well, on the first night, the first contestant didn't get it, and we had to we had to keep going until we got someone with three in a row. But unfortunately, to, like I say, the likes of Veronica and James and a few others, they were all in the queue waiting for Chris to slip up, but he didn't.
Nothing worse. Chris. You're waiting in that, hanging on, thinking, go and slip up.
Yeah, Chris didn't slip up. I'm afraid he got it. the tickets. Anything else doing at the moment? You two had a brief discussion about Florian Camberry as potentially the one that's on his way to Rangers on loan, a sort of third choice striker, if you like. Defoe's injured. Mm. Would you like to elaborate? I feel like I cut you off very quickly before the break.
About me, about why I think it's good. Well, I think he knows the league. I said he's big, he's strong, he's powerful. He showed up well at times against Celtic and Rangers. He doesn't show up well every week. Neil Lennon would testify to that, probably with being his boss, and I think the two of them had a wee bit of a run in. But again, who else do you get then for a backup striker who's going to come to Rangers and they desperately need one who I think probably knows the game, you know, knows the game up here. And I don't think it's a bad fit. Daz obviously thinks it's a horrible one.
I don't use the word horrible. I don't think.
Yeah, the look in your face suggesting it.
I just find that's just how he looks, I think. Yeah, I just find it strange. I can't right. I understand everybody's going, oh, he's only got to be backup, he's only got to be third place at there, but
learning off the foe. I'm just trying to argue against you. I don't really know how he's going to.
You can argue all you want. Everybody's got their opinion. I think they've missed a trick here. I think that at the beginning of the transfer window.
Is it worth bearing in mind though when that's also going to be a team that creates more chances, you'll get more opportunities, better players around you?
I'm still saying no. I think this is grasping at straws material. There you go. If you think about this, if you're Jack Ross and Hibs and that's one of your best players, are you going to say, yeah, let him go out and loan?
Yeah, but they obviously don't think he's one of their best players then.
Right, so if he's not one of Hibs' best players, and I know what you're going to say, but he's only going his third choice, but surely, in my opinion, Rangers can go and get better.
Or it just may just, or maybe they do rate him and it just suits both parties.
Well, obviously they rate him if they're going to bring him in.
No, I mean Hibs, sorry.
Oh, Hibs, sorry. No, well, they can't rate him because they wouldn't let him go to Rangers. I don't think it's a good sign.
Let's speak to Craig, who's a Kilmarnock fan in Johnston. Hi Craig.
How we doing, panel? I was on the show last week, Wednesday night. I was heading towards the game, Celtic at home, and I came on and said that I thought we could nick a point there. I said I would have to come on with my tail between my legs the next time I came on, and here I am, tail between my legs. I thought the performance last Wednesday was actually all right. It wasn't anything that we looked worried about going into St Johnstone on Saturday. I then went up to Perth, me and my pals, and it was nothing short of shocking. Keeper was all over the place. Seen it in sports, seen how much space Witherspoon had for that second goal. They genuinely look like 11 boys who've got together for a charity match, who've never played together. They look fresh at ideas. Dyer, I don't know what he's doing in training. I don't even know if he's telling them to revert back to what Stevie Clark said, because they genuinely look lost. I mean, that penalty we scored, if we don't score that, we've got no chances to score. I mean, the transfer window closes tomorrow, and we've had speculation about Hunter the boys, but as of recent, it's went quiet. And I said, when Hearts beat Rangers on Sunday, I was a wee bit worried, but I thought, no, the board will bring players in. Hearts are bottom, and are now, because of that win, 6 points off of us. If we lose to Ross County on Saturday, and if we drop points at Hearts away on Wednesday, we are going down. And I don't know who it was. At the start of the season, you guys, Super Scoreboard panel members, done predictions.
Oh, it's a bit early to be throwing them back in the faces, Craig. They're usually safe for a bit.
Exactly, but I believe it was either Derek Johnston or Hugh Keevans, and if it wasn't them, then I'll happily be corrected. But one of them said, man, that we finished bottom, and I'm pretty sure I came on the show and absolutely scolded him for it. And see now, it's not far off. I'm genuinely worried.
What do you think you need, Craig, during the next day? I don't know what will happen. Kabamba and Harry Bunn, the only two signings, I think, unless you can correct me. What else do you think you need?
Kabamba's looked good. I mean, he looks hungry. 2 goals in 3 games, albeit one of them was against Queen's Park. Harry Bunn looks a player. I mean, he's only here for 6 months. What's the chances that he plays a couple of good games and then somebody bigger snaps him up, increases the wage bill? We had James Fowler, was spotted at Dunfermline on Friday night, whether or not he was just watching Dom Thomas, who's out on loan. There was talk that we might put a bid in for Kevin Nisbet, but again, how much, what money have we got? I mean, we get money for Greg Taylor, we get money for finishing third, the young boy Liam Smith going to Man City, Europa League money, although it was only £250,000. You wonder where it's going. And it's been spoken about in Rugby Park before. On the board, there is no football in minds. You've got Cathy Jamieson and Billy Bowie, both who are great business minds. And up until a couple of months ago, we're running the club really well. It was looking on the up. But
what about James Fowler's role at the club? Surely he's there as to fulfil that role or be some sort of middleman, certainly.
Well, I mean, he's been in for a couple of months now. Since he came in, he sacked Alessio. He was the man in charge of that. He's decided Alex Dyer's the man for the job for the rest of the season. Kabamba and Bunn. Bunn's a free transfer from Bury. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I think any manager would have looked at that one. Kabamba seems to be a good find. If he can give us a Sam Cosgrove effect, that's what we all mentioned. Sam Cosgrove came from the lower leagues in England, and he's done a job. Can Kabamba do the same? I don't know, but up until now, you're thinking, what's James Fowler actually done? What are the board doing? What's happening in the club? We started the season, I went down to Wales, seen us win, then we get put out by Connors Keane, Omad, so
I haven't heard a thing about since because there are absolutely no bodies. You start the season in Europe and now it looks like we're going to go down. I don't know if that's ever happened before.
Yeah, Craig, as an ex-air manager, I've really got sympathy for you here. I think that, and I could be wrong, I think the Alessio sacking could come back to bite Kamarnock in the backside. You're looking at a number two, and he's apparently a terrific coach. I don't know the lad, but he's been given the job as a manager to end the season. Sometimes it's a difficult step to take, whether you're a great coach or not, being the number one, being the main man, having all the decisions to make.
Yeah.
But he needs to start winning. And just now, and I keep hearing this because I hear it on the TV about what a great bunch of players and guys that the Kamarnock players have. Forget about that. They need the results and they need to start winning now. They're in the habit of losing games.
Just quickly, Mark, Kevin Nisbet, I would imagine, will command a decent fee, yeah. even though he's at Dunfermline. So many clubs are interested, so many clubs have been watching him. Not to say that Kamarnock couldn't afford it, could they? It just seems unlikely.
Nah, it probably does, if I'm honest, Gordon. The way Dunfermline are signing players as well, it looks like they're concentrating on their league form and getting out of that division. So I don't see that one going through.
Craig, thanks for the call, but we're going to have to leave it there because we're fast running out of time and you need three more players in Celtic starting 11 on your debut, Mark Wilson. It was 28th of January 2006. You've got Boric, Wilson, Virgo, Lennon, Petrov, Maloney, Zaravsky, Hartson, three to go.
Ross Wallace.
Where did you... Someone's texted you that.
No, it was not. Mark told me.
Did you tell him that?
I was either him or Kamara.
Yeah, Ross Wallace is in. That's centre half. Accept it if Mark told you, because there's no way you plucked that out.
No, I don't.
Centre half. Stan Varga.
Yep. Oh, you've absolutely squished this.
Well, you said it was the worst back four in Celtic history. You were in it.
I says it was one of them, aye. Right midfield. Is it the obvious one? Nakamura.
It's obvious, it's Nakamura. Is well done. Yes. I think that's the first time you've ever got all the answers without any clues.
We've got them all.
Yeah, that's it.
Done, mushroom.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thanks.
Good
I'll
effort.
Be here next week.
That's us. A good night. Beat the pundit everything
5-0,
quiz.
Chris,
right, thank you to Mark Wilson and Gordon Deal. The biggest thanks, though, as always, goes to you. Thank you for your calls and tweets, and thanks for keeping us company on this Thursday night. Callum Gallagher is up next. He'll look after you. And tomorrow night, it's Hugh Keevans. It's transfer deadline day. St Mirren captain Stephen McGinn is alongside him. So we'll see you at 6. Callum's up next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.